T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, can you feel it? Can you feel it in the air? Ding dong, spring training's dead. And so is my beard. A very exciting Monday here on Evan and Tiki. You just heard the Yankees defeat the Mets. The Mets are done with spring training. They finished 15-14. The Yankees have one more game to play in Mexico, and then it's on to Thursday. Opening day 2024. We'll get into the baseball a little bit later on, including Shohei Ohtani, who's sort of going to meet the media in a couple of hours. We'll hear what he has to say as he's trying to make sure we're not witnessing the biggest scandal, arguably, in sports history. John Mara spoke to the media earlier today. We'll get into what he had to say. And coming up at 4:30, in just 1 hour, I fulfill the last part of my deed to get rid of this disgusting beard, and that is shaving half of it off.
I've gotten used to you with the beard, Ev.
Well, guess what? It's over!
I've actually gotten used to you with the painted beard. So looking at you right now, it kind of feels odd.
Is it?
It does. Well, I'm waiting for like a color to be like very bright in my face, and I'm not seeing it right now.
Well, what you'll get instead is in 1 hour, I'll shave half my face. So you'll get that instead.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it because this gets me out of the beard. I've been building this up for 3 weeks. It's over. And in 1 hour, you all get to say goodbye to my beard together. But let's start off in a place where I didn't think I would be annoyed on this beautiful Monday.
Annoyed?
Yeah, I found myself annoyed. I found myself with a grievance against the head coach of the New York Football Jets, Robert Saleh. Today is a very simple day in NFL land. It's the annual league meeting in Orlando, and that's why a little bit later on, we'll analyze some of the things John Mara had to say, some of the things Joe Douglas had to say, some interesting things, usually things that aren't going to just piss you off.
Okay.
But Robert Saleh met the media for 30 long minutes, and my guy Brian Costello asked him a very basic question with a very basic answer. And instead of saying what needed to be said about the New York Jets in 2024, Robert Saleh showed absolutely no guts. Take a listen to the question from Brian Costello and the gutless answer from our head coach.
Is this, Robert, is this season where maybe short of the playoffs is a failure?
I'll never say that. You know, it's...
You'll never... Well, stop it right there. You'll never say that. Brian said, if you don't make the playoffs, is this season a failure? Very simple. And all you've got to say, coach, when you've been here for now, how many years? 21, 22, 23. This is your fourth year here. You've had nothing but losing seasons. All you've got to say is, yeah. In fact, Brian, that's a dumb question. Of course it's a failure. That's the answer.
Yeah, but what happens should a quarterback get hurt or you lose a certain piece of your defense, whatever the issue might be? So you can't ever predict and set ultimatums. But here's the thing, Ev. You know this as well as I do, as well as Loogie and Sean and everybody within our listening voice. Really, not even, you know, I'd be listening to us to know the fact. If the Jets don't make the playoffs, this staff is not going to be here another year.
Oh.
That's kind of obvious, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, is it?
Of course it is.
I agree with you. Then why can't the coach say it?
Because you never want to put yourself on the hot seat.
Oh, really?
You can be put on the hot seat, but you're never going to say, guess what? If you don't like my job that I'm doing and we don't make the playoffs, well, fire me. I'll gladly walk out that door. Nobody's going to say that.
No one's going to say that, Tiki Barber. You know, I know about your history in the NFL.
Okay.
I know about some of the teams you played on, as does everyone in the audience.
When I think of guts, when I think of growing a pair, when I think of putting all your chips in the middle of the table.
Center
of the table. I think of a head coach that, as we look back 20 plus years later, I think we all have a pretty good feeling for. And that is, of course, your former head coach, Jim Fossil.
Of course.
So Jim Fossil, in the middle of the season, did exactly what Robert Saleh needed to do today. Have some guts and say what we already know. Of course it's a failure if we don't make the playoffs. Your guy, Jim Fossil, put it all in the middle of the table.
It's the same fruit basket. It's not the same fruit, though. Right? What Jim was doing, because we were starting to play really poorly, and he knew he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we don't win three more games or five more games, whatever it is, he is out the door. Right? They were trying to get rid of him for a couple of years. If he doesn't turn it around, then he's fired. So I actually, whenever I think back on that moment after we lost to the Detroit Lions, I believe it was genius, because no matter what happens, he's fine. Because if we stink, he's fired.
Right.
He knew it. If we turn it around, he looks like a genius. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way, him saying it is what helped turn us around. And so I don't think that Robert Saleh, you know, fast forward 20 whatever it is years later, I don't think that Robert Saleh is at that point where he can say definitively, I know what my team is, because I haven't seen most of these guys. I mean, Mike Williams is new, and Tyron Smith is new, and John Simpson is new, and Morgan Moses, and on the Kinlaw, everybody, like some pieces that are important are new. You haven't seen them yet. So the last thing you can do is say with confidence, if these guys don't perform, then I should be fired. You can't say that yet. Jim could say it because we're middle of the season. I don't think Coach Saleh can say that.
Yeah, but the reason he can say it and he needed to say it is exactly what you said at the top, which is we all know if the Jets don't make the playoffs this year, they're all gone. So you already know that the question Brian asked, which is such a layup,
has an obvious answer,
so just give it.
What if an extenuating circumstance happens?
Like what?
What if all of a sudden Zach Wilson has to be your starting quarterback?
Because
seemingly they can't trade him.
Oh, so don't do this.
And they're open to keeping him on the team.
Don't do that.
But let's just say for whatever reason, he happens to be your starting quarterback, and he's good enough, but not quite good enough, so you're 9-8, but missed the playoffs by a game.
Yeah.
Right, but you did a really good job under the adverse circumstances because for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing, and Zach Wilson's your quarterback, right? Shouldn't that deserve another year? So when you start digging into the details, logic tells you you can't just say if we don't make the playoffs, then I shouldn't be here anymore, because it doesn't play in his mind. It might play in our minds, but it doesn't play in his mind.
Yeah, but his mind is wrong. Like, that layout you just put of, hey, how about this crazy scenario where somehow Zach is still on the team, which I don't buy, despite what Douglas said today.
No, I don't either, by the way.
More on that a little bit later.
But I just brought it up because Joe Douglas said it.
I get it. So the third-string quarterback takes over. The Jets win 9 games. They miss the playoffs on the last day of the year, but it's really, really close. Does Robert Saleh keep his job? First of all, those circumstances you painted are like a fairy tale. Mm. And second of all, the answer's no. Like, he still loses his job. That's why Robert Saleh needed to grow a pair today. He didn't, and it's not even growing a pair. Because the truth is, all you're saying is what's obvious. All you're saying is the red meat that me as a Jet fan, and I think most Jet fans, want to hear. Which is, yes, I understand. Yes, Jet fans, I get it. We have to win this year. There are no excuses. And the truth is, Tiki, there aren't any excuses.
Of course.
It's not a quarterback injury. It's not an injury to the offensive line. It's nothing. You will not survive if the Jets don't make the playoffs. So what annoyed me about this, and I ask my fellow Jet fans, do you not agree with me? Do you not want to hear Robert Saleh just say the obvious? And by the way, if he said the obvious today, I'd move on very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, good, I'm glad he said what needed to be said. This is one of those things where you can only fumble it. You don't get extra marks for saying what's obvious, but you can fumble it. And for him to come out there and say, oh, gee, I would never say that, that's a gutless answer, dude. Come on, man.
Yeah, I get it, though. I know why you're upset, because as a fan, you want to say there's an urgency.
Because we all know there is.
I'm not
making it up.
I mean, we know it because of what they've done in free agency. They go, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. We know this. They go and get Tyron Smith, who's not old, but he's been hurt. And so I don't want to say he's on the back end of his career, but he's been banged up, right? He's not in his physical prime, even though he could still play really well. Morgan Moses, it feels like he is a like a like this sturdy like bandage you're putting on at right tackle. Could it help? Sure. Was it guaranteed? I don't know. And so I think there's just question marks about this team, despite the enthusiasm with which you went about free agency. Right? You have all of the pieces, offensively, defensively. You know, hopefully coaching wise, to have a successful team. Most importantly, led by Aaron Rodgers, and if he's healthy, you're going to be excited. But all that still has to happen. It's still like 5 months away.
I get that.
It's still so far away before you're actually in the like nit and gritty of this thing.
And what if they are one of these countless teams we've seen that goes 10-7, or dare I say 11-6, like that Patriot year, and miss the playoffs?
Don't excuse this.
No,
come
no,
on,
because that's the truth. Every coach has to account for that. Yeah, the rest of the league around them.
That's and the AFC is tight, and it's going to be hard. The division is going to be hard, and so. Like, you can't just say if we play great and circumstances just fall against us and we don't make the playoffs, fire me. You can't say that because you could still be building something. I think that's what's ultimately the goal is to build something.
No, but wait.
Build something more sustainable than what's been there.
The problem with the building something statement is that the quarterback is 40. The left tackle they just signed is getting
four more years.
I get that and I appreciate that. But he is still 40. Okay, so when we talk about building something, something to me is getting to the postseason, making a run, and losing. Then you want to build on it. But to miss the playoffs in an NFL world in which making the playoffs is far different than what it was 10 years ago, like that's not something I'd be able to walk away from and say, oh, we're building something. No, if they miss the playoffs this year, other than these far-out circumstances you're trying to describe, they're all gone.
Yeah, I don't.
So just say it.
It's got to be.
And if you don't want to use the word fire, just answer Brian's question. Yes, it would be unacceptable to miss the playoffs. That's all you got to say.
If the Jets look dysfunctional, then obviously they're going to be fired. But I think it's how they look missing the playoffs that's going to matter. It can't not.
Here's the problem. Robert Saleh is a nice man. Robert Saleh is a great defensive mind, but there's a couple of issues we've learned about from Robert Saleh. One of which I haven't brought up, but I've mentioned in the past, is does he even give a rat's ass about the offense? That's number one. But number two is the idea that he's an excuse maker. I don't like excuse makers. Like when I screw something up at home, you know what I do? Mm-hmm. I look into my wife's eyes and I say, I screwed up. Here's how I screwed up. Even around here, if I screw up, I will say I screwed up. It feels like Robert Saleh, whether it's his private text to Joe, is always looking about excuses. He's always looking for why this didn't happen.
Why do you say that?
Because of the quarterback excuse from last year that he said privately, and by the way, then said publicly. The whole, how many teams win with their backup quarterback?
True.
By the way, teams made the playoffs last year with a backup quarterback. I've seen a team win a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. It's a lame-ass excuse.
Right, it is a lame-ass excuse, but I think he's also trying not to crush a quarterback that's currently on his team. That's what that comes down to. Think about how he should have said that. Like, if you're being real, like real, let's have a conversation about why things went wrong.
Yeah.
Because our starting quarterback for most of the season was not good.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that about a kid that's still on your team. Right? Like, you still got to protect Zach in some way as his still current head coach.
No, but I don't even think he should have gone that route. The route is our offense as a whole, not just that quarterback, wasn't good enough. Because while the quarterback was inadequate last year, it wasn't just that.
No, true. The offensive line was bad. And there was a lot of drops. There was a lot of things that weren't right. But it's just hard to do that and throw guys under the bus.
Dude,
the last thing you want from a head coach.
Then throw yourself under the bus. Brian Costello, who's a wonderful reporter, asked a basic question that all of us as Jet fans would want to throw at the coach too, which is, hey, you agree with us. You agree with the mob of Jet fans that say you better win this season, right, coach?
Well, yeah.
And instead, I even cut off the answer. We'll play his full answer if you want the full context. I cut it off because his first response to it was disgusting. Oh, I couldn't say that. You couldn't say that. Are you kidding me? If you don't make the playoffs in your fourth year here with all this talent on the roster, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, you're telling me you deserve another year? Here's the full answer from the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh.
Is this, Robert, is this season where maybe short of the playoffs is a failure?
I'll never say that. You know, it's, like I said, put your head down. do the best you can, put your work in, and obviously we all want to win games, we all want to go to the playoffs, we all want to win championships. That's been the goal since the day we walked in here, and felt like we were going to have that opportunity last year. Didn't happen, and this year's about picking ourselves up, putting our heads down, and just working.
That's all fine. Put your head down and work. That's a vanilla BS answer. It is a failure. I'll help you out, Coach. And I think every Jet fan will help you out on the middle of March in 2024, months before kickoff. If you don't make the playoffs, the season is a failure. Period. You could write all these different scripts on how you get there, but it is a failure. And I'll take it a step further, because you weren't even asked about being fired. That's something we're kind of surmising. Mm. You're going to be fired.
Yeah, failure and fired are basically the same word, just different letters. So I think...
is that true?
I think that... Here's what I hear. Let's pause for a second.
Go ahead.
So when you're the head of an organization, and you're constantly in front of the same media... Same guys like Costello and others that are constantly on either on the beat or covering for whatever reason. Over time, you start to develop a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So you can have kind of off-the-cuff conversations. You can say something in a certain way that has some levity to it. You can disarm the question. I feel like where Robert Saleh, Coach Saleh, is right now is that he's... Like, he feels like he's being attacked all the time. And so his ability to hear a question and give, like, the obvious answer but make it non-serious is hard. But I'm being serious.
This is a basic tenet of the job, isn't it?
I understand that, but think about what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, like, I've been in media for so long. Been in New York for 27, 8 years, whatever it is now. I've been here 27 years. And... been worked on the media, been in sports. I feel like I can have conversations with people and be serious, but at the same time be like humorous and bring it down, like take the edge off of it. Coach Saleh, because he feels like he's so much under pressure and under fire, he feels like he can't afford to do that. And so as a result, the only way he can answer Brian Costello's question is serious, right? He can't say the obvious and put levity on it. Like, hey, Coach, you think if you don't make the playoffs, the season's a failure? I mean, if we don't make the playoffs, none of us are going to be here. Right?
Great answer, by the way.
Right? Like, something simple like that.
Yes.
It's obviously truthful, but you're obviously also joking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, Coach Saleh, he's not there yet because he hasn't had the success, right, as a coach to be able to be at that level. And so, this is where I have to defend him because I know where he is, and I know why he can't answer the question like you want him to answer. Like, I would answer it if someone asked me a question like that. And it's just, it takes success. Success cures everything. And as soon as he has that, I promise you, because I have conversations with Coach Saleh, he'll be funny, right? He'll be himself. He'll feel like he's not on edge. Right now, I feel like he's on edge, and it makes it hard to answer these serious questions without being... threatened.
Well, it's almost like he's being defensive.
Yes.
And the truth is, just be honest. Like, the New York Jets, and I know that coming into this upcoming season may be slightly different than a year earlier where there was so much hype and there was hard knocks, but there's still going to be hype. Like, the Jet over-under number is still going to be high. Their odds at winning a championship, while certainly not going to be the favorites, they're in the mix as a team.
Yeah.
Those expectations are still kind of there. And so as a head coach that has never sniffed the playoffs, as a head coach that has not even sniffed a 500 season, understand what's on the line this year. Understand the importance of winning. Because the one thing none of us want to hear as Jet fans, we are done with the excuses. We're done with it. Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have been here for a while. And I love what they've done this offseason, and I'm super excited for the year. I'm happy. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. But don't try to dodge what's obvious. And what's obvious, Coach, is that, yes, if you're not in the postseason, it's a failure. It's a massive failure. They have got to be playing postseason football in the middle of January. And if it doesn't happen, and I don't care why, I don't care how many guys get hurt or what happens or whatever circumstances we can't even imagine. If they're not playing postseason football, they're all gone. And we're going to all start over. Own it. And understand it, because that's the reality you're facing going into this season. Is it important for Robert Saleh to address what we all know? We'll get to your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. Plus, John Mara spoke to the media, and it seems like he took a direct shot at the head coach, Brian Daboll. We'll examine that coming up. I'll shave my beard coming up at 4:30, and we'll mix in some baseball as the show rolls on, including Shohei Ohtani speaking to the media for the first time since this potential scandal started to come out. Toll-free number, 877-337-6666. Evan and Tiki on this beautiful Monday. One thing I have not decided yet, and I've got about 35 minutes to figure it out when I shave half of my face, half of my beard, is I've got Gillette foam shaving cream plus the razor, so I go traditional, but I also got the electric razor. So I got both options.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At my disposal to get rid of half of my hair on my face, and I've decided it's going to be my left that I will be shaving. So the part that's closer to Tiki
nice.
Will be shaven. Do
so
you approve
get,
of that?
I get to see the baby face?
You get to see Evan? The baby's ass face, yes. Yeah, like as smooth as a baby's behind.
The good guy? So the right side will stay the heel?
That's right. The right side's the heel with all the hair. The left side will be clean shaven, and that will be coming up at 4:30, and I got to admit I'm getting emotional. Just realizing that I'm finally going to rid myself of this rat that's been living on my face.
You haven't seen your chin in, like, 6 months?
I haven't seen my chin in 6 months. That feels like it's a fat joke, actually.
I know, right?
I haven't. But apparently, in 34 minutes, I will. And I'm very, very excited about that. We'll get to your calls in a second. John Mara also met the media today and had some interesting things to say about the quarterback and also the head coach. But there is breaking news from the NFL owners' meetings, and that's why these guys are talking. The owners' meetings, the NFL meetings, are occurring in Orlando, Florida. And one of the rule changes that has just been approved, in fact, it was unanimous, 32-0, is the hip drop tackle is out now in the NFL. We talked about this on Friday, because you just or Thursday, because you actually showed on Sean Morash what that tackle looks like. It's now been banned, and if someone does it, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the reaction from the NFL owners' meetings about this particular rule change, and it was brought up, and they're right. This is going to be hard to judge on the field. in real time.
Great.
I mean, serious.
Fantastic.
It's like the pass interference thing. I guess it's going to be really hard to determine what was a hip drop and what was just someone taking a player down from behind. Because think about it. If you dive at a player, he's running away from you, you dive at him, and you wrap your arms around him, and then you fall on the back of his legs. Is that a hip drop? Or is it catching up to a player, you know, wrapping him with control and then falling down? Is that a hip drop?
Yeah, that's the problem as a fan.
Yeah.
We have now, here's what's happened. You want to tell me this is safer for players? That's fine. That's great. Of course, you want guys to be safe.
Of course.
But what you've added now is another element for us to bitch about when an official throws a flag on something that we as fans say that shouldn't be a penalty, and even you say it shouldn't be a penalty.
Or Evan, they don't throw the flag.
Or they don't, right.
Right. And more important, we're screaming and yelling, that's a hip drop! That's a hip drop tackle! 15 yards! It's like, was it really a hip drop tackle?
No, I know. You've added another rule. So when you add more rules, it creates more controversy.
And it's an interpretive rule. This is not an objective rule. It's not, you hit the guy before the ball got there, therefore, ball is in the air, it's pass interference. Or before ball is thrown, it's illegal contact. It's not like yes or no. It's objective. It's not objective. It's very subjective.
Right, right, right.
It's whoever is looking at that play says, yeah, okay, I think he was still up. That's not really a hip drop. Let it go. Or, okay, man, he fell on the back of his legs. Regardless of how he got there, he's on the back of his legs. That's a hip drop tackle. Therefore, he's out. I think even the horse collar, that's obvious.
Yeah.
You grab somebody around the back of their neck.
I agree.
No matter how, you know, what your intent is, even if you don't pull him down, it's a horse collar.
No, I agree.
Hip drop is just a little bit too nebulous. Rich McKay was talking about this. That's who I heard
right.
saying it's going to be hard to adjudicate in real time. And he's 100% right.
What is not subjective is that the New York Jets have to make the playoffs next year. And if they don't, the season's a failure, even if Robert Saleh won't admit that. James in Bayville. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. I was just going over the Jets' opponents for next year, just taking a quick peek at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would just be a huge disappointment. I mean, barring injuries, of course, like last season. But, I mean, these opponents, I mean, if the Jets don't make the playoffs, it's kind of a joke. They should be able to beat some of these teams, especially their home lineup. They got the West Coast, a couple of those West Coast teams coming to them, yep. like the Rams and the Seahawks. They play the Broncos, who are, let's face it, the Broncos aren't going to be good this year. The Colts, that's like a wish, you know, I mean, that's a winnable game. They got a lot of winnable games.
I agree.
On the road against the Cardinals, on the road against the Titans,
yep.
the Jaguars, the
yep.
Vikings.
Yep. Yep.
If they can't make the playoffs, that's a weak schedule.
And by the way, James, I'll take it a step further. And I brought this up very briefly a few days ago, but I never got into detail. The New York Jets need to be Aaron Rodgers injury proof. And what that means is, let's say the worst happens. Let's say we get deja vu all over again and Aaron Rodgers is hurt immediately, whether it's in training camp or it's in OTAs mm-hmm. or dare I say it's week one all over again. There is no excuse, because let's not get this confused last year. When I sat here after they beat Buffalo, I wasn't arguing with Sean and Lugie that they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying they should be a playoff team, and I will stand by that today. They should have enough talent on this roster, and they do.
Yes.
That even if Rodgers goes down, sure, we're not talking Super Bowl, and I never did last year, but you need to be a playoff team. And I believe they have enough talent to do that, so even if there's an injury to Rodgers, I don't want to hear it.
Okay, so what do you think a playoff team win total should be?
10 wins.
10 wins. Yeah. You know what? The Vegas over and under just came out. You know
9.5.
9.5 wins yeah. for the New York Jets.
Yes.
So they just need to be a little bit over what Vegas thinks.
Yeah. But I think Vegas is also probably saying, look, we have that number lower than what they could be for two reasons. A, we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play 17 games. Mm-hmm. And B, they have to prove it. The Jets haven't been above 500 in a long time.
Yeah, they haven't had a consistent. The offense is different every single season. Every year it's
yeah.
been different. From the Zach Wilson couple of years till the Aaron Rodgers season, which then got derailed because Zach Wilson couldn't play in that system. Now you have another system. Obviously, it's Aaron Rodgers again, but the left tackle is different. The right tackle is different. The left guard is different.
Yeah.
Two other guys are coming off injury riddled seasons. You got skill position players. You got a good defense, but these guys haven't played together yet.
I understand.
And until you do that, it's impossible to predict what they're going to look like.
Isn't this about comparison to the peers, too? Because if I was a Jet fan, which obviously we know we're not, The Bills and Dolphins this offseason look like they should be taking a step back with the amount of veterans they had to shed.
Yeah.
So this should be way different than the expectations last year when you consider the roster.
What's the number on the Dolphins?
10.5 for both of them.
10.5, 10.5 for the Dolphins and the Bills.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of respect. That's fine. But I agree with Sean's opinion. Have the Buffalo Bills gone backwards this year? Yes. During the offseason? Yes.
On paper, for sure.
Same thing for Miami. Mm-hmm. They've lost talent, both teams. So I agree with you. But I think that's why... A, the expectation from all the way at the top with Woody Johnson to the head coach needs to be, we better be a playoff team. Now, let me get to your guy's owner, the owner of the New York Giants, the great John Mara. John Mara hasn't talked to the media, I think, in like over a year. It's been a while. He's been, you know, hey, I'm going to let my guys run the show, which I respect.
Yeah.
So he meets the media today. There's no audio of it. At least I haven't heard it. So unfortunately, it's just reading the black and white of what he had to say. Number one, green light for Joe Shane. He wants to go take a quarterback. Oh, great. Go take a quarterback. I'm not going to interfere, which I've expressed to you. There are Giant fans who worry about John Mara interfering.
If they fall in love.
But here's what he said about Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, his own head coach, courtesy of the great Connor Hughes. John Mara said there are times he wishes Brian Daboll would, quote, tone it down. But he doesn't believe he behaves irrationally. He hasn't asked Daboll to change, nor does he believe there are cultural problems in the Giants building. So my question to you, if you believe Brian Daboll should, quote, tone it down, but you don't believe it's a problem and you don't believe he's irrational, why wouldn't you just tell him that?
Welcome to the chain.
What does that mean?
The train. Get on the train with me. Because John Mara used to say the same thing to me.
He said that to you, too?
Oh, yeah. Can you tell you? It'd be good if you toned it down.
Now,
I used to speak my mind. I just, you know, you guys remember.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's not saying that, like, I'm going to reprimand Brian Daboll if he doesn't, you know, calm his attitude on the sidelines. He's like, you know, just be cool, man. It's like, think about, like, your kids aren't old enough yet, and they're not dealing with, like, the social dynamics with other kids yet, but eventually they will.
Right.
So my daughter, she gets into these environments and she gets like heightened, right? And over ecstatic and over emotional and all these other things. And I'm like, Brooklyn, like, chill out, like calm down a little bit. And she's going to do what she's going to do anyways, but I'm just trying to be the parent. I'm trying to be the dad. I don't want to be the friend that helps understands and furthers it. I just wanted to calm down a little bit. To me, that's what this feels like.
Wait, when John Mara would tell you, hey, chill out, Tiki, would he do it?
It wouldn't be directly. It'd be like this.
Oh, he would do it through the media?
Yeah, it'd be like, oh, yeah, Tiki could have said that a little more delicately.
Oh, really? And this was while you were playing, not as an analyst, obviously, right?
Of course not as an analyst.
So while you were playing, John Mara would say, because I don't remember this. I probably talked about it on the overnight at some point.
I'm sure you did.
I forgot already.
I'm sure you did.
So John Mara.
There were plenty of times where I'd go off in the media.
But he would never say it to you personally?
I mean, he would, but not like that.
Do you think he has said to Brian Daboll personally, I would love for you to tone it down?
Because he's letting him be the coach.
Then why would you say that publicly? It's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it?
Because he feels like, unlike Robert Saleh, he has a relationship with the media where he can say things that are obvious. I mean, because it's obvious, right?
What, that Daboll needs to tone it down?
No, it's just obvious that, like, he's excitable.
Oh, yeah, no question.
And that he has this, I don't know, this persona that's like, right? And sometimes it's kind of like, okay, I'm good. We're good. Yeah, we're good. But then sometimes it's just like this beast comes out. And so, like, just... tune it down sometimes. Chill out. It's all good.
How'd you take that, Sean?
I don't take it as in any negative way, and it's probably because of experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially if he's done it to you. Like you said, hey, welcome to the club, coach.
He's also said in another breath in several statements, he's basically disappointed with the season, but is all in on Daboll and Shane. If he was really disappointed in him, I think we would have heard more of an edict and more of an urgency from Mara on the team. Like, he didn't even set expectations, so he might want him to tone it down, but he basically painted, like, a wide-open picture for Daboll and Shane to continue to have
their job. I also think the one thing you can't do as a leader of an organization is hire somebody and then neuter them.
Yes, I agree with you.
Like, you just can't.
Right.
You have to let them be them. Because it's who they are. It's what they're most comfortable doing. And he built the culture that way. Like, we remember it back when he first started. It was all about accountability. It was all about, you know, earning your playing time. And that doesn't come from, hey, buddy, you know, good job out there. It's yelling and screaming. And so you got to let him be him. Otherwise, he's not himself, and it leads to failure.
What makes me laugh about this, and I this is a defense of Brian Daboll, is he's been here for 2 years. Year one was obviously a great success. They surprise everybody. They make the playoffs. Year two, big disappointment. In year one, one of the early things he did was openly kind of embarrass Daniel Jones on the sideline.
Yeah.
And our reaction, all of us almost universally, was, hey, that's awesome.
Right.
He's finally calling out the quarterback. And then Daniel played well. And one of the calling cards of 2022 was, wasn't it great how Brian Daboll held Daniel Jones accountable?
Yeah.
And it was like, hey.
Like ripped him in front of everybody.
Yeah. And that was one of the great pictures of the season. Like one of the, if you were going to encapsulate the 2022 New York Football Giants, the picture of Daboll freaking out on Daniel Jones would be one of the pictures. Because look at the results. It all worked out. Daboll's great. The following year, in a year of disappointment, all of that same stuff. Like when he slapped the tablet down to the ground?
Yes. Well, he threw it on Shea Tierney, who was a quarterback guy.
Right, slaps it away or whatever he did to Shea Tierney. Now it's, oh boy, he's got to pipe down. What the hell's up with Brian Daboll? He's a maniac.
It's like, chill out, Pete. You can't have it both ways. This is how Coach Dave's coaches. It is who he is. He's old school in a sense like that. Accept it. Like, stop, like, prejudging what the season's going to look like because you're worried about his attitude or you're worried about his emotion or you're worried about his hurting his team's feelings or his coach's feelings, right? If you can't handle that, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, it's still a physical, emotional game. And that's not just on the field. It's in the meeting rooms. It's in the front office. It just is what it is. And he expresses himself perfectly. Because you're not confused about what he's asking you at all. Like, and if you're like, oh, I don't understand what's going on, that's your fault.
Right.
Because he's telling you. You're just not listening.
Let us go to Jimmy calling from the great Staten Island. What's up, Jimmy?
What's up, Evan? Hi, Tiki. Fans of both of you fellas. Listen, I'm going to say this, and you can write my name down and remember that I said it.
Go ahead.
Okay? The Jets with Zach Wilson was 7-10. You're getting a guy now that's coming back. If he's healthy, and it's the health thing. Of course, but if he's healthy, you know 10 of those wins are going to be at least five out of those 10 losses. You know, I see 12-5 for them. And I'll tell you something.
Going over.
Listen, to you, how are you 7-10 with a guy who's afraid to drop back and didn't even belong in the NFL? Let's face it, guys.
Well, so you're saying it was a success last year because of the quarterback. Well,
success to be 7 wins, yes. To have 7 wins with that guy... Absolutely.
But Jimmy, they got to the 7 wins, and this is a credit to Coach Saleh, because their defense, for the most part, was awesome.
It was elite, yeah.
They had an elite-level defense for the last year, and I'd say 2 years. The problem with the year before that is they just stopped forcing turnovers over the final 7 weeks of the season. But the reason they were able to win games, and they've been able to win games with Zach at quarterback over the last 2 years, is because the defense was that awesome. That's why. But let's not excuse how crappy the offense was, and that does bother me. See, you look at it as, hey, it's amazing they won 7 games with that offense, and I look at it as, with a defense like that, they should have by accident won 10 games. So it's really how you want to view the same result.
Yeah,
I view it as a missed opportunity. You had this great defense, and you don't know if they're going to get the same performance. Do we know if they're going to be healthy on defense next year? Do we know if Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner is all, like, we don't know.
Yeah, you can't guarantee that that's going to be the case. But you think about it. I mean, what 10 wins you needed to make the playoffs? The Jets, three more wins last year.
Yeah, but they didn't get it.
I know. Right, but just think about it.
Yes.
Trust Jimmy's point, if you have a different quarterback, or just say Aaron Rodgers, you're making the playoffs.
I would have hoped so.
Which is why going into this season, it feels like you at least better make the playoffs.
Absolutely, they better make the playoffs. Rob in New Hyde Park, what's up, Rob?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
What's up, dude?
The fact that it's even a conversation that an NFL coach needs to tone it down and not curse at grown men, kind of like we've seen a full-blown fall from grace. I happened to play through college, and it was just normal to get chewed out.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's kind of the thing.
100%.
Brian Daboll, 100%, on the hot seat, he's coaching one of the biggest and oldest franchises in the NFL. It's a high-pressure situation. He's got to be able to get up in that, if you know what I'm talking about. So that was my first point. But secondly, the hip drop rule and it being outlawed, I think the biggest culprit, if you I happen to be a Cowboy fan. I'm suffering. I constantly suffer. But watching Aiden Hutchinson sack Dak Prescott, there's like two really clear instances of when
he
grabs them and immediately falls to the ground. And I didn't think about it being like a dirty play. Like, it's tackle football. Like, there's going to be some stuff where injury is a possibility. But I looked at that and I kind of changed because Aiden Hutchinson's reputation throughout the league has kind of been that he's a bit of a dirty player. I didn't know that until I watched that game.
Yeah.
And I see that there's a real injury risk there, especially I'm a little sensitive with Dak's, you know, legs and whatnot.
Right.
But that's, I think Rob, it's actually the right
Rob,
move.
You're nailing it. It is a very dangerous tackle because as soon as you fall on the back of somebody's legs like that, your ankles can't support another man's weight. And then your tib fib certainly can't. Most likely, your fibula definitely. Your tibia maybe a little bit more, but your fibula definitely can't support someone else's weight. And so you end up getting these high ankle sprains. You hear about those all the time. These high ankle sprains or fractures in the tibia, and it just it kills competition when you lose, especially quarterbacks, as he was as Rob was alluding to with the Dak Prescott tackles. It gets difficult because I can understand why Aiden Hutchinson has to do that. Quarterbacks are, these guys are athletes, man. Daniel Jones is a big, strong athlete.
Yeah, I am.
Dak Prescott's a big, strong athlete. If you just try to wrap, like, put your hands around them, they're going to run through you. So you got to, like, force them to the ground, and it's easier said than done. I think this, not dissimilar to contact without the head, is going to take a little bit of a generation. Maybe not a whole generation, but it's going to take some like reteaching on how to tackle from behind because this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is a behind the runner tackle, not an in front of the runner tackle. It's going to take some reteaching.
The problem is, while you may be right and Rob may be right that it's good to legislate this out of the game, the more legislation you have,
right,
the more us as fans and everybody out there is going to complain about the unnecessary flag or the flag that wasn't thrown.
Right.
And I get it. You have to have rules in the NFL. I understand that. There needs to be holding. There needs to be pass interference. There needs to be defensive holding. I get all of that. I understand. And maybe you're right. And I trust you guys on, hey, the hip drop tackle is dangerous. They got to legislate it out. The problem is with legislation comes more rules, and with more rules comes more bad calls, and with more bad calls, you've got more controversies, and with more controversies, you have more questions about the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest thing that affects the NFL right now.
Right.
The integrity of the game, the fact that there are people that watch on Sundays and say, hey, that call was so egregious, it's not on the up and up. And while that hasn't killed the NFL yet, and hopefully it never will, that's my only issue whenever I hear something like this. Oh, great, we have another rule. Okay, well, think about what that means on that Sunday when we're watching football. There's another rule. There's another way that we're going to feel screwed when a 15-yard penalty is called when it shouldn't have been called on Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
He didn't even fall on the back of his legs, man.
Yes.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's a crap call.
I can hear it right now.
Of course you can hear it.
Pat's calling from Manhattan. Good afternoon, Pat. Hello, Pat.
Pat, what up?
Oh.
What's up, dude?
Yeah.
What's up?
Waiting to speak to others.
Well, I'm right here. What's up, man?
But this is Kat. Well, it's in regard to your beard.
Yeah.
You're painting it all those colors.
Yeah.
It's possible that's going to affect your skin.
Is it?
And I wanted to know if you was concerned about that.
I am so not concerned about that, Pat, because I'm just so happy to finally be free. I feel like I've been in prison, and the beard has been the bars around me.
What are you talking about?
I do. It feels like I've been in some kind of prison over the last few months.
Prison of your own creation.
Listen, I understand why I was created. It was done for Pete Alonso. It was out of loyalty to Pete Alonso. I get where it came from. I'm showing loyalty to the great Pete Alonso. But then I made a deal because I'm a deal maker with all of you guys to get out of it. So Pat's worried that my skin's affected by all the coloring I did for 3 weeks. You know what? Give me screwed up skin on my face. I will take that over this animal that has been residing on my face. That's the way I look at it. And I got to tell you, the fact that I didn't have to color my beard today, I was like so happy. I came into work today. I was like, I don't have to worry. I put all the colors away. I didn't throw it out, which was weird. Like, I couldn't throw it out. So I put it in my desk.
Oh, you're going to, like, your kids will use it for something.
You think so?
Like, color their hair for some reason. I don't know, whatever. You'll do something with it at some point. At least somehow, now you'll have it.
Yeah.
Right, I need some hair coloring. Oh, I don't have it. I got to go to, can you Amazon this? Oh, crap, they don't have any. All right, can we go to the store and find some? Oh, dude, I got it at my desk.
That's true. At some point, someone's going to need hair dye.
Exactly.
Or beard dye, and I'll say, oh, yeah, I'm right here. I got it. I'm good. By the way, did I tell you that my family's out of town? I'm living, like, this weird life.
All week? Oh, dude.
Like, we had our baseball draft over the weekend. I had some of the guys over. Tiki and Sean drafted virtually. Lugie drafted virtually. Totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody left. I was sad. I was like, what the hell am I going to do by myself?
I'm whipping one out.
Because all the guys who were over were like, oh, this is amazing. Like, how can I get my family to leave? And I said, I don't think it's going to be that much fun. Like, I love my family. Not that they don't love their family. So they leave, and for the first hour, I had a great time.
Like, I'm whipping one out.
Yeah, that may have happened. I'm having a good time. I'm like, this is great. And then finally, I got very lonely.
it happens, dude.
Yeah.
Because I've had that a couple of times this fall, end of winter, because the girls have been traveling for cheer.
Mm-hmm.
So Oklahoma, they're down in Kentucky, wherever they are.
Right.
So I'm by myself all week.
What'd you do?
Oh, just kind of... I'm whipping one out.
I was waiting for the drop.
I just watched a lot of TV.
Is that what you did?
Went for a couple long runs. Like, I got bored.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, I tried to
I almost feel bad. Like, I should just go out and, like, hang out. I kind of feel bad. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
No, I think I'm going out tonight. I think I'm going to go clubbing tonight.
I'm coming for that ass.
Clubbing? No, I think I'm going to go to the Knicks-Pistons game or something.
Oh, yeah, that's not a club.
That's my version of clubbing.
Right. But that's what you should do.
You think that's what I should do?
Go to a game. Not a club. Go to a game. Like, do something that you would feel guilty doing if they're here.
I was thinking of going to a movie, right? That was the thought in my head. And then I started...
Don't be Pee-wee Herman.
What are you laughing about, Lou?
The way you look right now, if you were to go to a movie all by yourself, the cops would be there in an hour.
Right. Don't wear a trench coat.
Because you look like a predator, dude, and you're all there by yourself going to see, like, Willy Wonka. You can't do that.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to go see Willy Wonka. I've already seen that with my kids.
And it's not streaming on Max.
And second of all, how do I look right now? I look like a regular human today. I haven't painted my beard.
No.
You look like the leader of a cult.
Oh, because of the half-shaven beard.
That too.
Yeah, dude, and not only that.
I thought that's what you meant.
But either way, you've lowered the bar on expectations of what you look like because you've been dying it. Like, doesn't mean you still look like a disheveled mess.
By the way, I didn't even think about the half-shaved thing.
Like, I didn't think about that either.
You definitely can't go.
But now we need him to go. That was the point. We want him to have public appearances.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny.
But he might get arrested.
Yeah,
even better.
I can't go into a movie. Like, I can go to the Knick game with a half-shaven beard. I feel like I can get away with that. Mm. But if I go to a dark movie theater.
Right. People are going to say, there's a weirdo sitting next to me.
I was reading a poll over the weekend because I've had a lot of time to read that 2/3 of Americans would rather watch a movie streamed at home than go to a theater.
Mm-hmm.
67% of Americans.
Yes. I'm almost that way.
Where you would rather, same movie's available, or you have to wait, right?
I'll wait. The 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever the heck it is now, I'll wait.
You got to have a good sound bar.
Did that.
Okay.
So, I mean, this was part of COVID. Like when,
right.
Of course. This happened at COVID. People redid their basements. They did their backyards, right? Everybody entertains at home. Like, we put a bar, like you saw it.
Yeah.
It's like an actual bar in my basement.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool. And so we put a big TV in the other room because we didn't want the playroom anymore. So we can watch a movie if we want in the playroom.
I still think there is something cool about going to the theater, and that's why that would be something I'd consider because I don't get to do it that often. There's one negative to the theater, huge negative, the inability to pause it.
Mm.
Like, think about it. What if I got to go to the bathroom? Like, imagine leaving something you're watching to go to the bathroom. That's so 1997.
You're in the middle of Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And nature calls. You're
right.
Like, damn it.
Or you've got to check a score. Or you got to check social media to find out if Shohei Ohtani's involved in the biggest betting scandal of all time.
Which he is.
Which he is. By the way, he is scheduled to speak to the media coming up in an hour and 25 minutes and we are going to listen to it live. All right, so we are going to tune in to hear what Shohei Ohtani has to say at 5:45. So keep it right here. We'll take a listen. We'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of football to start. We'll mix in some baseball. But when we come back, the beard, or at least half of it, is going away, and nothing, and I mean nothing, can stop me now. Finally made it to that moment. I am so excited. That moment that I have earned. The moment where I can take half of this rat living on my face and send it away. This beard I've been growing since the middle of November. It's had its moments where I thought I was going to get rid of it. Obviously, it started as a loyalty pledge to Pete Alonso. I said I would not cut my hair until Pete Alonso extended. Then he showed up at Madison Square Garden. I got even more confident that he would sign an extension because he was at a Ranger game. Sean kind of coaxed me into it. Well, if you're so confident, grow your beard out. And that's how the beard growth began back in late November, middle of November. I almost got rid of the beard fair and square when me and Sean played a game of pickleball. I should have won. Some may argue I did win.
Nobody would argue that.
But I didn't win, and so the beard continued.
Instead, we got A-Rod Day.
Yes.
And a banner that will hang forever. And no one in the history of WFAN will ever wear 13 again.
That is true. Not only did I not get rid of my beard, we're stuck with A-Rod Day. And then about a month ago, I struck a deal with everybody here. Tiki, Sean, and Lugie. I thought a very fair deal in which I would have to color my beard every day for 3 weeks. And then, at the conclusion of that, on the Monday of opening week of the baseball season, I would get to shave part of my face. And that would allow me out. So I'm getting the shaving cream ready. By the way, I've decided to go right side of the beard.
You're already pivoting?
Yeah. Changed my mind. All right. I've got the shaving cream on. By the way, I forgot that I may need napkins because now my hands are all
okay.
A mess. You got
hold
any
on.
Napkins
yeah.
here?
Greg hold does on. It.
Thank you, Sean. I've got it all set up. Boy, this is thick, man.
What
I mean,
is that?
I got a bush living on my face.
What kind of shaving cream is that?
That would be Gillette Foamy.
Gillette Foamy.
But they're not a sponsor, so screw them. Thank you for some paper towels. I'm going to wipe this off. Thank you very much. And I got my razor. And I just want to make sure before I do this, Tiki Barber.
I'm okay. You earned this, Evan. You've earned the right to get rid of the beard, the goat beard that you've been growing for about 2 months now.
More than 2 months.
Okay, whatever.
4 months.
4 months now.
I get rid of half this beard, I go a week with half a beard, and then it all goes away. Tiki is confirmed, good to go. Sean, good to go?
Yeah, I'm just shocked you don't have any running water as you have the shaving cream.
Dry shave, man. Dry shave.
Dry shave is the way it is, baby.
Right.
We're good to go, Lugie?
We're good to go on my end. We just have one little problem here. Steve Gelbs is on the hotline. He says he needs to speak to you immediately.
Steve Gelbs?
He's Steve Gelbs. S-N-Y.
I don't know why he's annoying me at my place of work, but Steve, what can I do for you, pal?
Hey, yeah, Evan. I mean, listen, man, I've been going back and forth about whether or not I should do this. I can tell that you are beyond excited, but you know you can't shave that beard.
Why can I not shave the beard, Steve?
I mean, you keep talking about this private conversation that you had with a few weeks ago. I mean, be honest. Like, admit what actually happened.
What's he talking about, Evan?
Well, first of all, my private conversation with Pete Alonso was private. How the hell do you know about it?
Yeah, it was private. And we were there. I was there. I mean, I wasn't eavesdropping on you or anything. You know, I thought I heard something. And I went back and, I mean, all the recorders, I checked the audio and I was just, listen, I was sitting on it because I know you and I thought you were a man. So I was hoping you would do the right thing here the last few weeks. But as it inched closer, I said, you know what, I got to step in. And so I actually sent some audio to Lugie.
Oh, jeez.
And it's time for you to come clean.
What the heck is he right talking thing. About, Evan?
And so, listen, man, I can't waste a lot more time on this right now. I got to go study some game tape of the best roster in the NFL because I only have 3 days back to baseball full time. But I'm going to see you on opening day, and that whatever that thing is on your face is going to be fully intact on Thursday.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
All right, you got some explaining to do, Ev. I mean,
I thought I had a private conversation with Pete Alonso. Apparently,
I've been trying to get it out of you for, I don't know, 2 weeks now. 3 weeks now.
He sent you audio. He has audio, Logan?
Yeah, I got audio in front of me here.
Right, before you play it, I will come clean. Pete doesn't want me shaving the beard.
What?
Pete told me he does not want me shaving the beard.
Pete Alonso told you not to shave the
beard. I
knew it.
I spoke to Pete.
I knew it.
And I was surprised. I thought I was going to have an out. I thought that him giving me the blessing would also confirm this agreement. Mm-hmm. I would feel good, and I'd be good to go. And that conversation did not go the way I expected. He did not want me to shave the beard.
Why not?
Because I made a promise? I don't know. Apparently, Gelbs has audio. So let's take a listen to whatever the hell he has.
Evan, you made a promise to Mets fans. It's garbage that you're even considering cutting your beard. You have to keep it going. So I know it's the timing may not be in your favor, but you need to keep it until the time is right. You'll know.
I'll know.
You'll know.
Right. What does that mean?
That means he's signing a long-term deal?
I'm out. Now I've been guilted. Pete doesn't want me cutting the beard. I can't.
Kiki, that's how I took it.
Like, I just heard Pete Alonso say, you'll know. Now, he didn't say when you'll know, but he said you'll know.
I really thought I had this accomplished. So
is he? I can't tell if he's like messing with you, Evan.
Who, Pete?
Yeah, like you'll know you need this beard for another week, or you know you're going to carry this beard until October.
Now that it's out there, I will reveal he just didn't want me to cut the beard. And he told me. He said, you made a promise. You can't cut it. I argued with him a little bit, but we're in the Met locker room. I felt like I need to have some respect. And I begged him and I pleaded him, and he refused to agree. I guess Gelbs was there too. Now, there were Met reporters there, but I thought it was just me and him. Like, I didn't think they were eavesdropping. And I guess Gelbs got him to confirm it. So
you were growing a beard with solidarity for Pete Alonso, but yet you were going to go against his word if Gelbs didn't just call?
I mean,
he thought he was going to get traded or something.
No, I
don't know.
I just didn't think it would ever be out there. I just thought it would be a private conversation. That would be it, and I'd get to move on. And you know what? I'd apologize, and we'd still be good.
I don't know. I sense some confidence from Pete that he's going to be back with the Metsies.
I love being a Met.
Well, I did have a longer conversation with Pete, and I did record some of it because I thought it was going to go a different way. Like, I thought he was going to give me permission.
And?
So I've got my own clip of Pete Alonso.
What is going on in that Met locker room?
I know.
By the way, you're the toxic one in the Met locker room, right?
What? This is what Pete said about my beard after I begged and pleaded him to allow me to cut the beard. Here's what he said. You ready?
Okay. So regarding the beard, I know.
Hold on. My phone just crapped up.
You work in engineering or not?
No, he does not.
Hold on a second.
Okay. So regarding the beard, I know we're in a weird spot, but he is allowed to edge it up.
Oh.
Maybe trim the sideburns a little bit to make himself look more presentable. Ooh. Just because he edges it up a little bit and, like, maybe does the mustache up a little bit doesn't mean that he's not keeping his promise. Beard's still a beard. Let him turn him up a little bit so he can look good for when he comes home.
How about that?
Ah.
Thank God I got that piece of audio from him.
Jeez. I don't like that answer.
Hold on. You don't like that answer, but you like the previous answer? Of him saying, I owe it to him and everyone else to keep the beard going? So you accept that part, but not that part?
You know, Pete feels like a flip-flopper. You won't get ready to keep it coming, but he wants you to clean it up.
I know. Now it sounds like he's trying to get you to look, like, really dope with the beard.
Well, I mean,
like,
I can't.
Badass with the beard.
I can't cut the bottom. I can just clean up the sideburns. That's what he gave me permission to do.
No, he sounded like he wanted you to, like, get it neat and get it, like, I don't know, like TV presentable?
Listen, all I know is if you guys
go to a barber and get a barber to trim that thing up.
Oh, and you have an issue with that?
No, I'm just saying Pete gave you permission for that.
All of a sudden, Pete Alonso has become the king of my beard. Like, he's decided all the rules.
But who gave him the permission?
Because the whole reason for the beard is Pete Alonso. Of course he could dictate the terms.
So you agree with Pete on all the terms then?
Absolutely,
now?
Absolutely. Because it all has to do with Pete. He should be able to dictate.
So the beard is going nowhere. You got what you wanted. I painted myself for no freaking reason for 3 weeks. Congratulations.
Well, that's awesome.
I filled myself with this Gillette foamy crap. I can't even cut half of it. And now the beard exists in perpetuity.
Right, until
that's what you got.
Okay, so
now
so when is this
vetoed?
Right, when is this beard going away?
When he signs.
Okay.
He won't let me cut it till he signs.
I don't think Pete's a cruel guy. So if he won't let you cut it till he signs, forgive me for connecting dots.
Right.
I love being a Met.
I hope so. Now, you guys can connect it however the hell you want. All I know is, hey, look.
What else did Pete say in this conversation that you had?
When I went into the locker room to speak to Pete, my game plan was very simple. Okay? I want to be perfectly honest.
Please
now that I'm coming clean.
About more than just the beard.
Yes, we talked about many, many things.
Right, good, just making sure.
First, I wanted to make sure he recognized me, which he did immediately. Made
really?
Me feel very good.
No,
yeah.
Even with the beard.
Even with the beard. Okay. You know, the comedy show's been a while ago. He switched agents. You never know. Right away, knew who I was. And I said, listen, I just got to tell you about this beard situation, which he had some familiarity with. And I said, I wouldn't cut it until you got extended. And this is the part that really did get to me. He's like, that means a lot to me.
Really?
And when I said that, I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm screwed. And I said, well, I'm glad it means a lot to you. Is there any way you can go on a record to confirm that I can get rid of it? And that's when he said no. He said,
wow.
No, he said, no, you can't. You made a deal. You got to stick with it.
Now, if he had given you permission to cut the beard, what would we have done?
I don't know. I probably would have come in clean shaven. But then...
I don't know if I'd have been angry or like, good for you, Ev.
That I went to him and got the permission?
Yes.
Oh, I would have been angry.
I probably would have been
angry. You can't
angry
walk in. You got to do it in front of him.
Well, the problem is it all backfired because he wouldn't allow me to do it. Mm. We had a longer conversation. At least I got him on tape. You know, hey, you can do this, you could do that. Gelbs then, who's a great reporter, clearly, was like, let me confirm what's going on here, confirms that that's what Pete did say to me, and that is all true.
But you're a two-timer, Evan.
Why am I a two-timer?
Because if not for Gelbs, you would have shaved half the beard despite Pete Alonso's wishes.
Yes.
You're a two-timer son of a you-know-what.
That's a great point.
Right, and then when he saw you, he'd be like, dude, where's your beard? I told you to keep the beard.
I had some regrets over the last few weeks.
I'm leaving the Mets because you didn't keep the beard. That's what would have happened.
Oh, I would have been blamed for it?
You would have been blamed
for it.
Well,
do I get credit now when he stays?
Accidentally.
Accidentally?
Good enough.
Well, either way, it's over, all right?
So he's signing soon.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think this beard is growing until November, essentially.
Man. Negotiating through the season or negotiating after the season.
No, I don't think they're signing anything. I don't think, but put it this way. I did not take out of this whole interaction, he's signing soon. What I took out of it is this beard isn't going away anytime soon.
You know what, Evan? You tried to pull a fast one. It gets very hot in the summer. That's punishment enough with that beard.
Yeah, and look, it's over now. I mean, I couldn't get out with this, it's just done. Like, I'm stuck. The beard stays.
I actually kind of like the beard. I've told you this since you started growing it. I'm glad it's staying, actually. I don't want to see the baby face, Evan.
Oh, well. Congratulations.
I like the heel, Evan.
You're right over there, Sean. You're okay?
I got to be honest with you. I was ready to get rid of this rat face, too. I was ready. You were looking good. Now you got real castaway vibes, and I can't take it.
Now we got to find, like, a barber to trim it up for him.
Yeah, got to clean it up.
Like a proper trim.
Look, what I took out of that explanation from Pete was more, to me, now, you're right. I guess I go further with it, but my real take from that was cleaning up the sideburns, that I can trim a little bit on the sides, but I have to keep, like, what I'm grabbing right now, which is, like, the loop and the big bottom of my beard that I'm pulling.
The length has to stay intact.
That's how I took what Pete said.
It's just got to look neat. So clean sideburns, but you could be like Rumpelstiltskin.
What does that mean?
Isn't he the one with the long beard?
Isn't that ZZ Top?
Rumpelstiltskin, you idiot, is not it. No, Rumpelstiltskin is Rapunzel, right? Doesn't Rapunzel have the long hair and Rumpelstiltskin takes the hair and
puts
it
into
I've got the long beard. Me! That's who's got the long beard.
Rasputin?
Who's Rasputin?
I don't know. It's like the Russian.
I have no idea.
Like the Russian soothsayer, whatever.
I have no idea. The only guy I know with a long beard right now is Sami Zayn, who apparently I look like. Bottom line is, I apologize to Pete. I apologize that I was going to break what he told me and was going to be deceitful to all of you guys, but whatever. I got called out, and now it is what it is. Here's my beard. It's not going anywhere.
Are you happy for the beard? Are you happy that you're keeping it?
No,
Are you really upset?
I thought this was it. I mean, I thought I was out.
Right, your wife is away for a week?
Yeah,
So she thought she was coming back to a clean-shaven Evan.
Yes.
And now she's going to do what?
She's going to find out what happened between me and Pete that day at Point St. Lucie.
She can still come home to a clean-shaven Evan.
There you go. Let's go to Robbie in East Brunswick. What's going on, Robbie?
Hey, listen, Evan. Yeah. I like the beard. What you got to do, you got to get it trimmed, groomed, and shaped by a professional barber.
Yeah,
the
that's what we just
said. The beard is good, but what you have going on now is just totally out of control. Try it. Get it done.
It's out of control? Yeah. What's the part that's out of control? Is it the bottom part that's out of control?
It's like scraggly. But in general, it looks good.
Oh.
Like, from afar, it looks good. And you get up close, and it's just like, that seems a little work. Man, you know, trim this down.
It does need a little work, that's for sure. Let's go to Eli in Connecticut. What's up, Eli?
What up, Eli?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to tell you a funny story. So, my wife is older than me, and every time I shave, she's so against it.
She says that I make her feel like a pedophile.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not good.
I mean, that's not.
Yeah, I have a very young face, and when I shave, I get carded all the time.
Oh, my God. All right, thanks for the call, Eli. I don't want to continue this conversation.
No, me either.
How much younger do I look when I'm shaved? Like, not that young. I look a little bit younger,
you
but nothing crazy,
least
right?
10 years younger.
Really? It makes that
at
big
least,
of a difference?
Maybe 15.
Jeez. Let's go to Mike on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what up? How you guys doing?
Good man. Mike. What's on your mind?
I was just another opinion on Evan's beard. I think he should go like the full Nick Kroll from the movie with Kyrie Irving. Like, do a full shape up fade.
The movie with Kyrie Irving. Oh, he was in that basketball movie, right?
Yes, correct. Like the full fade with the shape up, and like if you're gonna go out in style, don't waste the beard.
Don't waste the beard. Well, guess what? I got a lot of time because this freaking thing ain't going away till he's a Boris guy. It may be a year from now.
It's true.
I mean, that's what we're looking at. Dino in South Plainfield. What's up, Dino?
Hey, Evan. How you doing? Hey, Tiki.
What's up, dude?
Evan. I'm a Mets fan for so long. You're a fraud, man.
Why?
You're a fraud.
Why is
How
a
can
fraud?
Pete Alonso tell you don't shave the beard and you're going to go behind his back and shave the beard?
Yeah, that's a
you're
good point.
You're a fraud, man.
Yeah,
Come on.
Dino, you're making a good point because we had no idea.
I have to admit, Dino, I feel very guilty about that. Like, I think as Gelbs was exposing
selfish,
me.
Man. You're being selfish.
I was being selfish. As Gelbs was exposing me, I had two thoughts in my mind. Number one was, how the hell does he know? Number two was, forget the fact I'm going to have to keep my beard. I got to answer for the fact that for 2 weeks I've been kind of BSing you guys that I was good to cut this, even though Pete told me he wasn't giving me permission.
You were painting your beard for a ruse that you knew you couldn't or shouldn't fulfill.
I feel bad about that. So let me just publicly apologize to you, Tiki, to you, Sean, to you, Loogie. But more importantly than you guys, I want to publicly apologize to Pete Alonso. I grew this beard for you. I even went to you like you're my God and said, can I have approval like you're my boss? You said no. I should have respected that answer and not continued the charade for a few weeks as if it was okay. It was never okay. And honestly, now that I think about it, maybe it's a good thing that Gilbs called me out. Because if I shaved half of this off and then it came out. Ugh.
Yeah, then it would. That'd be a long grow back. Yeah.
That'd be a long grow back indeed.
Evan would be begging for Ohtani news to hide his
ass. That's a good point. Anthony's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, Ant?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yo.
Evan, I like the beard. I love the meaning behind it. As a Mets fan, I love it. That your true Mets loyalty comes in play every time with it. But listen, here's what I really call him about. With J.D. Martinez now in the lineup,
yes.
Where do you think now the Mets fall down? Like, to me, here's the reason why I was excited. Even if this guy doesn't even hit, to me it's like the Mets are playing for this year. I don't know. It gave me hope that maybe they'll get a pitcher in the midway through. Like, to me, it just made me feel different. Even if he isn't even that good, it made me feel, because this obviously this isn't a two-year move.
Right.
Even if they got Montgomery, that you could say that it could be for next year, too. This is like a now move.
Yeah.
And like, to me, it just like 100%. Rejuvenated my hope for the Mets this year. What do you guys think about
that? Yeah, it's interesting how you read it like that, because we know what the DH, in theory, was going to be. It was Mark Vientos and DJ Stewart, you know, some sort of platoon. But what the DJ, the JD Martinez signing tells me is that they were very disappointed in Mark Vientos. They had to have been, right? Because not only did he kind of get usurped, he got sent down, right?
And yeah.
His strikeout rate was so, I mean, he had, what, 5 home runs or whatever it was in spring training, but he struck out like 30-something percent of the time. He only had a couple of walks. Like, his OPS was high, but his on-base was low. I mean, like, there were some things that just were troublesome and worrisome. And so, we need you to play every day. So, to me, this was more of a reaction to Vientos as opposed to, we're trying to win now.
So, I completely disagree with you, and let me explain why. First of all, I think the Mets sending down Mark Vientos was a mistake. I got into that on great detail on the latest Rico Bronya. Download that later. So don't download it now. Maybe listen after the show or a little bit after the show, something like that. Then again, you should listen to Loogie. So maybe, I don't know, tonight you could download it. I get into specific
on your
detail.
Way into work.
There you go.
But then you got to listen to the net game. So after the net game.
Right. Well, whenever you want to hear a specific breakdown of why sending down Vientos was a bad idea, download the Rico Bronya.
But I don't think it was a reaction to Viento struggling. Here's what I think is what it was. When the offseason began, as a fan, I sat there and said, this is what they need to do. This is what they need to do. They needed to add three starting pitchers, okay? Yes. Which they did. Yes. Now, maybe it wasn't the quality of starting pitcher I wanted or others wanted, but they added three of them, right?
Severino was pretty damn good in the spring.
No, I love Severino. Severino was actually one of them. It was more like Yamamoto, whatever. Point is,
he's going to stink, by the way.
Yeah, forget the specifics. They needed to add three starting pitchers.
Yep.
They did that. They needed to add a couple of arms to their bullpen. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to add an outfielder. They did that.
Okay.
The thing that was obviously missing was a DH. That was another one of those things on the shopping list that they didn't add. And it's why for months, whether it was arguing with you or arguing with Sean the day you were out, I was saying on the radio emphatically, they are a bat short. They are missing a bat. They have not completed their offseason. I don't think my idea was that crazy. I think the Mets agreed. Here's the difference. The Mets had discipline, which I don't have. I admit that. I don't have discipline. I'd be a terrible owner because my emotion would say, need DH.
Do it now.
Get now. Exactly.
Yeah.
When I'm screaming on the radio a few months ago, get me a stick, get any stick. I just need a stick. I would have added a stick. The Mets agreed with me, but the Mets just said, we're going to wait. We're going to wait until the price is right, and then we'll give you the stick. So where I respectfully disagree with you is that I think Mark Vientos could have had a big spring training. I don't think it would have mattered. I think the Mets knew they were a bat short. And so that's why
So
they were always going to do it. It was just a matter of when. And because of the way this market went and this offseason went, it happened to be a week before the start of the season. But they were always one bat short. And now they're not.
Right. So then why send them down and keep Zach short? Right.
I think that could be more in reaction to the way the roster is being built, having more defensive versatility. I disagree with that. I would have given Mark Vientos 2 weeks a chance to be the DH. And by the way, I would have still found opportunities for him to play, even with JD on this team. I made that point a lot on the Rico, sometimes here on the Fan. So I disagree with that Met decision. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I think they always knew they needed to add a bat. And one of the compelling reasons I gave to you was Steve Cohen knows the Met fan expects it. Cohen won't go into the start of the season without adding a bat. I said that to you in February. Now, I started to lose some patience and started to lose my own faith that it was going to happen. But at the end of the day, it happened because they played a financial game. They waited JD and Scott Boras out.
Yeah.
No, and they won.
No, they were great at it because they not only waited them out, they structured the contract so it doesn't crush them CBT-wise.
Yes.
I mean, they did a fantastic job. Now, the problem is, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they kind of got lucky.
They did. They played a risky game of what if someone gave in to JD's demands? Mm-hmm. What if he didn't have a problem going to San Francisco? What would they have done? And by the way, it's a fair question. But I think the Mets in their mind said, we know we want to add a bat, but we're only going to do it at this price. That's why the idea that Steve Cohen just, you know, took his pants off and said, I'm Steve Cohen. I'll get whatever I want. That's not what happened. It was more of a disciplined approach that I admit I would not be good at. I would not be a good owner if I had billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I've been told that by a few people. I would have given DeGrom 5 years, $200 million. Pete would have already got $300 million. I'd be terrible. I admit, I'd be a terrible owner. Let's go to Eric and Merrick. What's up, Eric?
Good afternoon. Hey, you know what? I'm really upset with you, with this whole Pete Alonso thing. Big Mets fan.
Yeah.
I call up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you're playing us off the whole time. I think a punishment is due. You were thinking of what punishment should be done. You went and colored the beard, which was a whole facade. And let me digress 1 second. With the beard, you know about No Shave November, right? You don't shave in November.
Yeah.
They make your contribution for cancer, men's cancer. So all the months you didn't shave, that's penalty number one. You pay that fee. Second thing is, now we shave your head, and we put on one of those temporary tattoos for the same amount of time that you were coloring your beard.
Oh, my God. Three weeks?
3 weeks.
So you're saying my penalty for being, I never lied, but just I didn't tell you everything.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
It was an omission. It was lying by omission.
I just said my conversation with Pete was private. That's all I said.
Try to get that one past your wife. Lying by omission.
It's still lying.
It doesn't work.
Even if you didn't say anything, it was not true.
But doesn't it make you wonder what else Evan's hiding about this conversation with Pete? We're getting little leaks,
recordings.
That can't be it.
We've been badgering you for like weeks now. And you never told us. And you lied about it because you admitted it.
I never lied about it. I just didn't tell you what he said to me. I didn't. That's all I did. I never lied. I never said Pete told me get rid of the beard. It's disgusting. I never said that.
What did I just say? Lying by omission.
But that's not lying, Teak. That's only lying to our wives. That's not lying to me and you.
You were going to cut the beard.
Did I lie to you?
Yes, because you were going to cut the beard. And you omitted the fact that Pete told you not to.
Well, when did we ever create rules that Pete Alonso was going to be the
Alonso.
I understand.
It's the reason that we're doing this.
So I know. Why are you doing it then?
Because I feel bad. And I felt bad when he told me that. I didn't want to let him down.
You feel obligated when you get called on it. That's what this is all about.
I felt when he calls
now
me
you
out.
Do. You feel obligated.
Well, I felt bad at the time. I just kept it to myself. It was one of those internal feeling bads about. As far as me shaving my head and having to put, what did he say I got to put on my head?
Temporary tattoos. Telling you, though, you'd be badass with a shaved head and a beard.
Can you imagine that?
You'd look like a completely different person.
Imagine I shave my head and the ball of my head is a Met logo.
It's like, you got a money.
I would be okay with it. I just don't think my wife would be okay with it.
I don't know when or if your hair would grow back. That's the challenge.
That's why I can't do it. Yeah. I can't risk that. Let's go to Larry in Bensonhurst. What's up, Larry?
Rumpelstiltskin,
yes,
was a gnome-like creature who spun straw into gold for the miller's daughter.
Mm.
She wound up marrying a prince. He came back for his payment of her firstborn son.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
When her son was born.
And she,
that was and a Grimm's fairy tale.
And she needed his name.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of Rumpelstiltskin. That guy looked a little freaky.
Did he have a long beard?
No.
No.
No. No, that was a different story.
He had red hair, though. It looks like he had red hair.
The only way she could not give up the kid was if she knew his name. And I forget how the story ends now.
You got to go watch it tonight.
I do.
Did Disney make a movie called Rumpelstiltskin?
You know, Loogie?
I know who Sean was thinking of instead of Rumpelstiltskin.
Who? Rasputin?
No. Rip Van Winkle. Does that ring a bell there, dummy?
It is. I passed that brewery on the way home. That's what made me think of
Rip Van Winkle.
Look it up. Long white beard.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, that is right. Some beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think with that kind of length, which goes down to your belly, mm-hmm. I think that would take multiple years.
Oh, yeah. That's years commitment.
You know what
that
means?
That's almost a lifetime commitment.
That's like if someone did it for Jordan Montgomery at this point. That's what it would have to be. That's my biggest concern now. If Pete signs in March of next year versus Pete signing in November of next year. Because there's a big difference between the two. Let's go to Ty and Danbury. What's up, Ty?
Hey, Tiki, Sean, Loogie, I just got to apologize. I was following along with my favorite co-host and, before work this morning, shaved my beard off.
No, you didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
No, yeah, not all of us get to shave, in the middle of the day. We're all prepared. So, I got up this morning. I said, all right, today's the big day. Life's going to be happy.
Oh, dude.
Wait a second. So you were growing your beard out in solidarity with me and Pete Alonso.
He's called multiple times.
I know. I'm just clarifying. You were growing the beard out. You knew today was the day I was cutting half of it. And this morning you shaved your entire beard off?
Wow.
Of course.
Evan, you should feel horrible.
I can't actually talk to people. So I figured, I went this far. We're getting rid of some hair.
All right, I'm going to make this
you
up to you.
You should feel horrible.
No, I got to make this up
utterly
to you.
Horrible.
Ty, what if I take you to a Met game? Does that make it up to you?
That would be wonderful.
Okay, hey, guy. I bought him off, you see? All right, after we're done talking, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your info, and boom, you're going to a Met game.
I forgot that he was growing.
All right, I'll see if it works.
Yeah, definitely, Ty. Thanks for calling.
I apologize, Ty.
Now you made Evan feel even worse.
Oh,
You are the worst, dude.
What was I supposed to do?
Didn't you know people? I remember him calling multiple times.
By the way, I feel even worse because I just hung up on
you. Hung up on the guy.
Put him on hold. There's a button that says hold.
Yeah, Ty, call back immediately and get to Loogie, and he'll take care of that. I'm sorry.
Or email the Rico Bronya podcast.
Or email the Rico B at gmail.com. Yeah, I forgot that there were people joining me on this crusade of growing out our beard.
I would advise Ty to actually call back because there's going to be a ton of Ties that call you, that email you.
Who's saying I'm the Ty?
Yes.
I cut my beard. You know, I actually, Ty made a mistake. Can I rip him a little bit?
Go ahead.
No. Can I rip Ty?
This is all your fault, but go ahead if it make you feel better.
I was only cutting half my beard today.
Okay.
So he should have given it the week until my entire beard was gone, and then he should have cut the beard. He prematurely shaved.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong about that.
He's wrong.
No, he's not wrong, because Ty can't do half a beard.
Yeah, like, but Ty's not getting punished. The moment the beard starts to come off, it comes off entirely for Ty.
Yeah, but not fully. Evan's right. He should have just waited it out for the week.
Yeah, to wait. This was the beginning of the half-shaven week, which unfortunately you don't get now, Sean. Does that disappoint you?
Very much. Evan, you still have to take him to a Mets game.
I'll take him to a Mets game. That's totally fine.
What do I get that I don't get the half a beard? That was my big payoff.
Yeah, had me coloring my beard for 3 weeks. And by the way, half those videos went viral.
Yeah, that's a good week.
My debut on First Take was with what color was my beard that day?
I forget. I just love the white dotted one.
It was multicolor, right?
Was it multicolor that day?
I think it was multicolored that day, because that's why it was so odd.
Yeah, so what would you get out of this? You got me to color my beard for 3 weeks.
I think that I have to go to a Met game with Ty.
Do you want to take him to the Met game?
Yeah, me and Ty will go.
It's totally fine. What a turn of events. I thought today was going to be a celebration of half of my face being naked.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, opening day week is upon us, so I am going to pelvis thrust at you every Cinco de Fivo some opening day themed lists.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's hear it.
So this list is going to be the five best Yankee Stadium or Citi Field traditions currently.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
It's the trumpets. I hate to say it. It's okay, Yankee fans. We can all admit it. It is the best closer entrance in this town since Mariano with Enter Sandman. And even though it could be cheesy and easily made fun of when Mrs. Met pumps out that trumpet next to Mr. Met, it's still pretty damn electric.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's actually five on your list.
I appreciate you acknowledging that. It's okay to not like another team in town or look down on another team in town, but still say, hey, that's cool. And I don't think there's any doubt, and I've argued with some of my fellow Met fans who have been bothered by variations of the trumpet, such as when Timmy Trumpet performed live, thinking it was some kind of jinx when he came out for the Dodgers series, or when it's used when Edwin comes in non-save situations. Give me a freaking break. When Edwin Diaz comes into the game, the trumpets play, and apparently this year it's going to be even more spectacular because the Mets have added these LED lights.
Oh boy.
That are going to flash in unisons. In unison at the beats of Timmy Trumpet. So it is going to be even more electrifying in 2024.
I got to tell you, LED lights in a sports arena or stadium are amazing because they can go on and off really quickly as opposed to regular lights. It takes forever to heat up.
I have to admit, it gives me a little bit of a headache.
I was going to say, I didn't like that the Yankees pivoted to the LED lights.
What?
It's too much. Stick with the arenas. Here we go.
Number four.
Bryant Denny Stadium. Watch Alabama play. They do it amazing.
I'm sure they are. We're talking about the Mets. Number four is the home run apple.
Look at that! Back-to-back Metsies! Well,
I think we all, Yankee fan or Met fan alike, whether it was Shea or Citi Field, remember that first time you're sitting there and that apple pops up and you go, that's cool, Dad or Mom, what's that? And you're taught the tradition of the home run apple, dating back to when the Yankees played at Shea, and it rose halfway on
a Darryl. That was amazing. I was there that day. Darryl hit a home run against the Angels, and the apple started to go up, and then they were like, wait a second. No! And it went back down. But I agree with you, especially for kids. Like, I take my three-year-old to the game. I say, look at the apple, look at the apple. Guy hits a home run, look at the apple, look at the apple.
It's unique and different than other teams.
Kids love it, plus they have the old apple outside.
Yeah.
So you could take a picture of yourself in front of the apple.
Right. And by the way, on the cover of my Mets Bible.
Is that true? Oh, crap, that's right.
How about you study the cover?
On the cover of My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom, on sale a week from tomorrow. Can you freaking believe it?
Yeah.
Center field view, including the home run apple.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
This one is close to home because I was there the very first day it happened. It's the YMCA at Yankee Stadium by the grounds crew. What a great tradition, and it symbolized the start of a run. Opening day 96 in the snow is when they broke it out to keep the fans entertained.
It's actually single-handedly one of the dumbest traditions in New York sports.
It's lame. It's very, very lame. Why it needs is it to lame? Stop. Because it's a bunch of old guys like, oh,
that's
let me
the
start
funniness of it.
That's the era. That's their era.
I agree. It was funny in 1996 and in 1997, and I'll give you 1998. But by the time we got to, I don't know, the millennium change, it started to be like, yeah, I've seen the joke already. I'm good.
No, the crowd gets a big pop every time, jumps out. Everybody's doing
Everybody knows that song. Even like, young kids know that song.
It's not the song. It's the grounds crew dancing to it.
No, they do the thing with their arms.
Yeah, just you know what? Just clean the field and get off the field. How about that?
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's dumb. I'm just being honest with you.
Evan's the Grinch that stole opening day.
Here we go. Number two.
The Lazy Mary at Citi Field.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Lazy.
You know what? No.
What?
It's a great sing-along song. The Mets have single-handedly kept that song relevant. Yeah. Everybody, bum, bum, bum. You know, it kind of sounds like Dominic the Donkey.
Yeah.
What I've learned here between the YMCA and Lazy Mary... Tiki, he doesn't want anything distracting him from his little pen on his paper on a baseball game. He doesn't like the extra entertainment.
Can we get to the game?
Yeah.
Can we get to the scoring part? How do I score Lazy Mary?
These are fun things at a game, and you don't like them because you just need the game.
I wouldn't say. I think they're both just pretty lame, especially the YMCA one. That is really lame. I'm surprised you think that's cool. I'm surprised that made the list. Dude, that was done like five years after they started.
It doesn't matter. It still gets a smile on my face. And when they're really struggling, you can play the game. Why can't they hit?
Oh, that's funny. Me too. Yeah. I'll give
you
that.
Here we go.
Number one.
You want to guess?
I think I will agree with you. Yankee Stadium, the bleacher creatures, the roll call.
Wrong. I forgot about roll call.
What? You forgot about the roll call? What did you put as number one, dude?
That's got to be on the list.
It's not even going to like compare to this number one.
No, number one is New York, New York to end every game at Yankee Stadium.
Which is fine, by the way, and a great tradition, but roll call? Dude, this is the most embarrassing list you've ever put together.
This is my biggest gaffe on a Cinco. I'm going to retreat. That's Cinco Day 5.
Wow. Get the hell out of here.
I'm a fat moron.
Thank you, Sean. Cinco Day 5 every day at 5 o'clock. That's a bad one.
Don't laugh at him. He's genuinely upset.
No, he feels bad. No, I can see it in his face. He looks disgusted with himself. And the Yankees winning and playing Frank, like I'm with you. In fact, they used to have a tradition. I forget when they stopped it. But when they would lose games, they would also play New York, New York. Hmm. But they would play the version by, what's her name? Oh, my God. What's her name? Older woman. I think she may not
country?
Be.
Country?
No. She's got black hair.
What's the setup? I missed the setup.
Oh, you were too busy moping?
Yeah.
The old tradition. Here. Liza Minnelli. Who is Liza Minnelli? Liza Minnelli.
I would never have got. You giving me 1,000 guesses, I wouldn't have got that.
So what they used to do, and I forget when they changed it, is when the Yankees would lose a game, they would play New York, New York by Liza Minnelli. When they would win a game, they'd play.
Is it sadder?
I have no earthly idea, Teague. It's a great question. I don't know. And I think now don't they play Frank either way, Sean?
Now they do. I believe Liza Minnelli gave the Yankees an ultimatum.
Really?
Stop playing it after losses or don't play it at all.
Is that true?
I believe that's what happened.
Oh, because of the association.
Because it was always associated with a negative, like this is the negative version of the song.
I can see that.
Well, why did they do that to begin with, though? Because I remember that as being a thing. Like, Liza would play when they lost.
Because it was respect for Frank. Like, you only get Frank after something. So you play another version.
Yeah, that's putting Liza down, though.
And she didn't like that.
No, I agree with her. Wait, so that is true that Liza's the one who stopped it?
Yes.
Why do you seem so non-confident?
Because I'm trying to just fly through the actual money quote.
He's trying to speed read.
He's trying to make up for his toe pop.
This is a bad show for me. There's no recovery.
Yeah, you can go home.
Yeah, take another day off, Sean. You've already had a bunch.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, Friday will not be.
I'm sure. Yeah, the roll call to me, I would go as far to say, Teague, the roll call at Yankee Stadium is one of the great traditions in all of sports. And what bothers me as a Met fan, and I think, Lugie, you'll be on the same page with me, is a few years ago, Met fans tried to copy it. Mm. They tried to do the roll call. And I had a big issue with it.
And did it last?
No. It got backlash. Now, I'm not saying it was just from me, but I remember coming on the radio saying, what are we doing? We're not the Yankees. Like, we have to come up with our own traditions. And we have some great traditions.
It's going to be impossible to match that.
I never said we can match it, but just don't copy it.
True, but there's no way to acknowledge. Like, how are you going to do that?
Is there another roll call-y version Met fans can do that's a little bit different? I'm sure you come up with something.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to think about this all night tonight. I've got a lot of time on my hands.
I'm sure a lot of people have thought about this for a lot of time.
Like, what
can't.
Tradition can we create that's as cool as the roll
copy,
call?
Copy, but be so different that it doesn't feel the same.
That's a great question. I'm going to work on that all night tonight. Mm-hmm. But that's
like
tough.
That's a Rico.
Now, we got a lot of Ricos this week. We're doing MLB predictions. We're doing Mets predictions. We're doing Yankee belly.
Must be very nice, very busy. Not
week.
Have a wife and kids at home.
What was that?
Must be nice not to have a wife and kids at home.
No, I miss them greatly. Why would you say that?
Because you can do all the other things you want to do.
But imagine having
Sorry, but I know you got like your wife and kids at home, but we're working overtime.
Could you imagine your wife and kids being away and the first thing is like, I got to think of a good tradition Met fans can do to mimic a roll call.
I got to record six extra Ricos.
This is the Rico Brodna Podcast.
Let me ask you this, Sean, because Tiki's already experienced it.
Uh-huh.
If all of a sudden your wonderful wife said, hey, I'm taking the girls away for a week. They got time off.
I've had weekends, not weeks.
Respect that you got to work. In fact, that's fine. Go work. We're going to go somewhere else. Okay? Because that's what happened. My kids have the time off. And I said to my wife, you should do something with them. And they are. And they're spending time with family. And I think that's amazing. And now you have a whole week where you're by yourself. What the hell would you do when you got back?
I'd binge watch a show, number one. Number two, I would just hit up all of the friends, however close I am, who's available when, and I'm going out. I'm hitting the bars like I'm 22 years old.
That's what you do.
Yeah, and I'm having a good time, and I'm being entertained. I'm living my life. Nothing egregious.
I was just curious. Because you seem to be looking down on my idea of thinking of new Met traditions.
And I would definitely go to some kind of game, I'm sure. Not Knicks Pistons.
I don't have a lot of options this week. We do have the baseball season supposedly starting on Thursday. Let's go to Ozzie in Woodridge. Ozzie, how you doing, pal?
Hello, Ozzie.
Hello, everybody. How you doing?
Good.
Pretty good, man. What's up?
I'm not surprised that Mr. Softy got so distracted by Mr. Softy news that he forgot the roll call.
Yeah, that's a bad job out of him. Softy should have known better. I agree with you.
He's never going to be welcome with the Bleacher Creatures again.
Yeah.
If I was one.
I agree. I agree. Who's the head Bleacher Creature again? I forget his name.
Bull Vinny
just texted me. You know what he said? Sean Morash, dead to me.
Well, I'm a frequent spender of his product.
You like that, Ozzy?
Mr. Softy is persona non grata in the bleachers. Love it. Good job, Sean.
Sean, you should have just pivoted in real time.
Yeah.
No, but I want to be transparent.
I know, but you could have just... who cares when the list gets done? Like, you should have pivoted in real time.
No, I would have rather admitted... No, because I couldn't not put New York.
Yeah, he was in a tough spot, because if he goes to the Bleacher Creatures and the roll call, and now he's leaving out a great tradition of New York, he's kind of screwed himself. Mm. What he needed to do was recognize it three picks in. Like, he should have known with a few to go.
But it wasn't even on top of his mind. Like, he wasn't thinking about
it. I know.
If
we didn't bring it up, he wouldn't have known.
And I was also trying to be very nice to Met fans.
No, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, he got trapped. He was being condescending to us Met fans.
Yep.
And then he used one of those spots and forgot the most important one to the regular, everyday, salt-of-the-earth, real Yankee fan.
Yeah.
So he insulted them all.
He did. Very insulting. I think the most insulting thing ever said on WFAN. But go ahead.
Pretty much. Evan, you turned the whole my conversations with Pete Alonso thing, looking back, hindsight, over the last 2 months, must remain private. You turned it into a radio shtick, the morning zoo, Zany Zoo type thing, where you got a call, the beard got a call from the governor. At the 12 o'clock hour,
saved.
So that the beard did not die.
Mm. Yeah.
Pardon the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Turkey.
Yes. Yeah, I got pardoned.
At the last minute.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the beard is not dead. And what's crazy to think about, Oz, is the beard has been around for 4 months, and now it's going to be around for triple that. Like, think about that for a second. Because now it's over. Now I'm not making any more deals. It's done.
When was the first? Did we get a date on it?
Yes.
Because we need to have an anniversary party.
Yeah. Like I don't have the exact date, but I do know that earlier today, a tribute video was posted on social media. The Evan and Tiki Twitter account put it out there. I put it out there. And it's a tribute video to my beard. And the way the tribute video started was with literally the conversation of me saying, Pete is at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, so it should be easy. We should find it. We can find that.
Oh, we definitely have it. And Sean then saying, hey, if you really believe that, grow the freaking beard out.
In fact, Anthony Gallo is right here. Anthony Gallo is one of the great digital guys here at WFAN. He's done a fantastic job. He found the archives and found that footage and that audio of that day. So he has a date. You have the date, Sean?
November 28th.
November 28th.
2023.
Is when it was said. November 28th.
Was when it was said. Now, my beard was already growing at that point,
You didn't shave from then.
From that day is the declaration of will not shave. So believe it or not, March 28th is opening day. So it works out perfect symmetry.
Oh.
December, January, February, March. The four-month anniversary is coming up in a few days. And here's what's sick about
Let's hope
that.
We have a game.
We have a game. We have
Let's
Mets.
Hope we have a game.
Yeah, that's right. The weather doesn't look promising, but we'll see. 4 months from that date. It's still only August. Think about that.
So true. Football season. It's
and 4 months from that date is December, where Pete still wouldn't have signed.
That's true.
So I'm like a third of the way home, which is just, oh, God. Why did I have to go into that locker room? Like, if I never went there and never spoke to Pete, this wouldn't have happened. I just would have made my deal and I would have moved on.
You know, normal people can just enjoy a vacation without having to tie baseball to it. Yes. But you had to get there.
It wasn't even vacation. He was going out to see his sister.
That's right. I was going out to see family.
It wasn't even vacation. It's in the wintertime. It's vacation.
Yeah, whatever. It was a getaway. He was going down to like say hello to his sister.
That's all I was doing.
But now I think it was a ruse just to go see Pete Alonso.
You think that was it?
Absolutely.
Meeting Pete Alonso that day turned out to be a bad mistake because it means 8 more months of this. A very busy Monday. Opening week of the baseball season is upon us. Thursday afternoon in Houston, Texas, right here on The Fan. The Yankees are...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.